Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is Drop Tent Media Network.
Oh yeah, right? But now you finally have a movie that like you can embrace.
I was actually against The Black Mermaid too, just because they kept it in the same, they still had the white prince. I'm like, I'm sorry, if that white prince wants a fucking black, like, he doesn't want a white.
Wow. Wow, sir.
Oh, Neil, oh, it's his show. Wow. He gets the cut stuff
okay,
now.
Okay, so yeah, in your mind.
Hi, hello, welcome, Call the Bus, Neil Wood, Adam Nutter.
By the renewing of your mind, the recycling, it's a flesh body world. Oh. Human, sir, slimy reptilian.
So, yeah, you were talking about, oh, I was asking you about video games.
Yeah.
You were a fat kid and you don't play video games.
Yeah, I gave up.
What made you fat?
I remember the day I gave up. I was playing Matrix Reloaded.
Okay.
And I was fighting when Agent Smith becomes the big guy at the end of the game. Spoiler alert, I guess.
I've never played this game.
It's a bad game. And I finally beat him. And then I was like, I think I need to stop playing video games.
Okay.
I genuinely was like, I think this is sucking the life out of me. And this is just going to be, I could just see my future and I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I know it's a good way, like in the same way people read or don't have 85 other jobs,
yeah,
which I do. So I feel like that's what it came. It was like, I got to concentrate. I almost give it up to like intelligence.
So did
as well.
You give up reading and TV and all that stuff?
I would say that reading's the guilty thing that I want to do
did
more
you just
of.
Call reading? Oh.
Like I want
to
do more
I
of
you're
the
about
thing.
To call reading a guilty pleasure.
It is a guilty pleasure, Dave.
Like, oh, I'm such a bitch for
yeah,
doing
yeah. Oh, it's
dirty. So bad for
the
me.
Dirty.
Oh, I'm exercising that fucking brain muscle.
Yeah.
Oh, what a piece of
my,
shit.
My
I
girlfriend
am.
Does that. She buys books and she's like, I have like 10 books I haven't read and I will go somewhere to like a bookstore and she'll buy another book. And so that, I mean, I can see where that might be a problem, but it's like, wow, you're beating yourself up for having a like line of books to read. That's improving yourself.
Well, at that point, you just want to have a fucking collection to impress people.
Yeah.
I buy them one at a time. Fucking buy it, read it, buy it, read it.
Yeah, but what do you do
on
after
a
you
Kindle?
Read it? Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
No, I do have a book, but I've read it. Like I bought them that way too. Yeah. Now they're just collecting dust on a bookshelf somewhere.
You can't have too many books on a bookshelf that you haven't read, because if that's the case, people are going to be like, oh, I love that book, haven't read it. Oh, that one's cool. I haven't read that one either. And they think you're just a pretentious
asshole.
Except
Blood Meridian. I've tried so many times. That book is complicated and I am stupid. They don't fucking have, none of the characters have names. There's no quotation marks, so you don't know like when a fucking,
yeah.
So have to like, you don't know when it's a, like, oh shit, that's a person talking. That's not the narrator talking to me. That's a character to another. This fucking Cormac dude.
Yeah, that, right. That's like Infinite Jest, a buddy of ours.
I was just thinking about
that. And I couldn't. We went on a walk. He told me all about it. I was like, dude, that sounds interesting, but I'm not going to be able
is
to
that
do
a,
it.
I've heard of this. Is that a book with a plot, or is it just like, is it just like philosophy?
No. So, someone who just told you that I was told what the book was about on a walk.
Okay. I
guess
genre. I'm really just asking for a genre.
So the author as well, he was reading the stuff by him, and he's just an interesting writer in general. But this is a one where a lot of other people's heads.
Yeah.
So it's like a Richard Linklater movie.
I can't remember the author. He's Jesse Drame's going to hit me.
It's David Foster Wallace.
David Foster Wallace.
Jason Segel played him.
Yeah, there you go. You would hate the book. The book is told like halfway by like footnotes.
How far did you get?
So, not very.
No, okay. I was going to say, it sounds like somebody who tried to read it.
Not very far.
Yeah.
I wish.
Kindle's made footnotes more.
Stop trying to get, Kindle's not paying for this. How dare you stop
no,
doing
I will
this.
Fucking, I will show for Kindle because I fucking love it.
I wish
I used to have to read on my side because I only had the overhead lamp And like, well, I want to read like the full
problem.
I've never seen Dave lay down. I've never genuinely can't imagine you on your side.
I'm literally never upright. I know. No, but now I get to sleep on my back with the lights on, so I don't have to get up and turn a light off. I can fucking knock right out with the
camera. I can't imagine you reading. Not that I think you're dumb. I just can't imagine you reading.
I fucking read every night.
Yeah, I believe it, but I just
he doesn't feel it because you know what I mean. I can't see him being soft. He seems so rigid. Yeah. I can't see.
I do.
Him.
I fucking flip over because that's why I'm Kindle. I'm Kindle now. Okay. Lights off. I can read on my. You back. Know,
I can't picture him little kid while I was like feet kicking in the back with the book on the bed.
Are you
like,
kidding?
I can't
I
see.
I fucking found Waldo. I found his missing shoe.
Yeah,
I see with the Land of the Waldos, the one with the missing shoe is the real Waldo, and I found that fucking Waldo. I found the dog, the wizard. I found all of them.
There you go.
Well, someone who
you do love literature.
Yeah, I cosplay as Curious Waldo George. A lot of the time, so it makes sense.
Oh man, curious. What circumstances he got himself into?
whoa! Sorry.
Every Roald Dahl book, fucking Matt Christopher, the sports books guy.
I'm also a big boring reader. Like I don't read like fiction. It's that kind of thing where I'm reading like I'm reading just it's economic books and shit like that. I know. I wish I could escape.
What do you like this world that you live in?
I think it's no. I think
need to be transported. I want to be. I don't want to be here.
I get you. My buddy's the same way.
I'm just pure fiction now. Although I went through a big period where I was reading like literature, like books I thought I was supposed to read.
Yeah.
And it was just such a like miserable.
Holy Caulfield, you skimp.
It was. It felt like that. It was like eventually I think I pushed away from some fucking book like Infinite Jest, one of those fucking books. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not even having fun.
Yeah,
like, and so then I just started reading for fun. And then I go through phases like I see, like you say, fictional, but like books about like shit that happened can be insane because like the things that happened are like crazy.
I had a David Grant streak in me.
Okay.
So yeah,
I don't know his work.
He's famous movie wise. He did Killers of the Flower Moon. I read like years before that came out. And then he had a book that came out last year called The Wager, which made like, now I think I might be into old ships.
Okay. Cause
I've read two books in the past year. So that the two books that I loved happened to have old ships in them. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm an old ship guy. And I never knew this about myself. I've said
Dave with a tan and a hat is a swarthy boy.
No, I hate the ocean.
I know.
I hate water.
I can't.
I get it.
I can't imagine you reading. Like you I can imagine you like meticulously building a ship in a bottle.
Yeah, I definitely see it.
I see that.
You see me like patiently?
Yeah, I do. I feel it being like in the bottle is like the only like part of the universe you can control. Like it's your place of peace where like no one can
honestly the public wants you to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like we're scared if you stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ooh. Yeah. I need you to keep going to open mics and I need you to keep building a ship of bottles.
Yeah. That's it, man.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you're fiction boys all day now.
Yeah.
Which I get the slog going through.
I love it. I also
like crime.
Okay.
Before I was a comic, I wanted to be an author. That was like my original, like, I don't want to work a real job dream. And I read a lot. And it just got to the point where now my philosophy is I only read shit to have fun. Because a lot of times I would read because I thought it would make me a better writer. And that was like how I was trying to enjoy books. And it's kind of like watching stand up as a comedian. If you can shut your brain off and just enjoy it as a comedy fan, then you might enjoy it. But if you watch any special as a comedian, it doesn't matter whose special it is, unless it's one of like the absolute best specials, you're going to hate it.
I could,
because you're like this. Right. You're just like, meh, whatever, lazy premise. Bleh. And so I took a lot when I was reading the most. I feel like I was sucking the fun out of reading out of myself by approaching it with like the wrong thing. And I think I'm overcompensating now in my 40s and late 30s as now I just read shit that, well, I started it. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I started in my late 30s to say I'm older. I was old.
Don't you fucking rewind time on me. I won't allow it to happen.
I was old at 37. I was already in my 40s when I was at 37. But yeah, so I just read now. It doesn't matter how bad it is, as long as I can find it enjoyable.
Yeah, I think I did a little bit of the same thing. I think I feel like a lot of people, but I'm also someone, I feel a lot like your girlfriend. And I think Dave's the same way. It sounds like he reads it, he gets done, and I have to wipe off
my stomach and move on.
Exactly. Exactly. You just get that gratification. I can't move on. Like, I'm stuck on three books, I think, right now, and I'm getting to them when I get to them. and I can't buy more. I can't do anymore. I have to finish those ones. It's something about the completionist.
Yeah.
You're reading all three at the same time?
So yeah, all three of these are...
Oh, that's just asking for fucking trouble.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Reading is not something I do. If I have nothing else to do, which rarely happens.
Do you have trouble sleeping?
Yeah, which unfortunately those... So the sleeping and the reading does such a good job. I'm out before I get anywhere, so I have to be an active reader.
It's a double-sided because at the beginning, the early chapters, donk. I'm like, fuck. It's fine. And like, it's just a page turn. I gotta back half of the book I'll read in one night. The first 30 pages will take me 30 nights to read.
You feel so lame when you're like, I'm sorry, I'm so tired today. I just got caught up in a book. Like, it just, even though nobody's gonna give you shit about it, it just feels lame. It's like
Middle Earth wasn't gonna save itself, bro.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about books, but I mean, I wanted to talk to you guys about movies because we usually end up talking about movies anyway. But yeah, we're almost towards the end of the year. And I just want to say a couple titles because you guys see a lot. You go to the theaters a lot of times right after the podcast, the weekday comics when you're done filming live. And I love
$5
it.
Movie on a Tuesday.
Now I might have to go on a Saturday afternoon and pay $13 for Megapopolis.
So sorry,
but I don't know if that's I can't Megapolis.
Megalopolis.
Megalopolis. That's it. Yeah.
Can't even say it. But there's so many that came out. I mean, was there any notable? I mean, there's so much just in the adventure stuff. Even starting there, is there anything that stood out? How about Dune? Do you like Dune?
Dune, I like the first Dune. One better,
I didn't see the second one. I missed it. It just, I couldn't get anyone to see it.
Do you have Max
with me? Is it on Max now?
It's on Max. Watch it.
But I mean, so many that came out. I genuinely, it's moving too fast now. There's Storm Chasers. These are like animated stuff. Tiger's Apprentice.
What the? Okay.
They're still doing Kung Fu Pandas. Did you know?
Is this the fifth one?
This is just something like that. I watched the first one and then gave up. I do that with all children's movies. I don't really give the second one a shot. The Toy Story is being an exception, but
they're making a fifth one of that.
They should have ended three. Yeah, I agree.
I like things in trilogy form personally.
And the third one has the most emotionally satisfying ending for all the movies. And it wraps the trilogy in a nice little bow. You don't need to do anymore. It's over.
Someone's got to fucking feed Tim Allen's coke habit, I guess.
Yeah, I think for the two genres that I like the most for trilogies, it's got to be probably action and then horror.
Yeah.
If you're doing a trilogy.
Is there horror trilogies? Because everything seems to be fucking 8 volumes.
It goes more, you're right. But I mean, I'm saying that we're getting more trilogies in general. They're building Conjuring Universe is one that they're building.
But that's not a trilogy.
No, I'm saying that.
I literally can't think of one horror trilogy.
Well, I think they don't stop anymore.
Yeah, they don't stop. Yeah. That's the issue, I would love if they did.
Right. The
Halloween, technically, but then you'd have to get away from the first movie. Like, you have Halloween, but then they kind of did the trilogy again, right? They were like, well, we'll continue from that one. Well,
They made two, and then Rob Zombie made two.
No, I know.
Third. But, I mean, I needed my trilogy to be one story beginning to end with one director, one fucking actor.
You can say that about Star Wars, like no matter how shitty each trilogy is, they do present them all as trilogies.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And they're never going to stop those. Like, there's nobody believes that last shit show is going to be the last Star Wars movie.
Well, no, yeah.
There's going to be, I'm sure they already have like phase plans for more trilogies.
Well, I don't know about trilogies, but I think they have a bunch of loose movies.
They're in the middle of a phase then.
Doing the same thing with The Conjuring, is what I'm saying. So technically you have The Conjuring 1, 2, and 3, right? Same thing with Insidious. Yeah. Same thing with Insidious. You have 1, 2, and 3. But then, they built around it. The Nun is probably the saddest of the ones that they went to.
Okay. They have The Quiet Place. They just trilogied that out.
Not a trilogy.
Not yet.
Well, that's a prequel. The type of trilogy you need.
Oh, right.
Well, okay. And so that's an interesting question, though, because like Mad Max... Three movies. We'll cut it off of Fury Road, but it is a.
I do consider there is a Mad Max trilogy that is its own trilogy,
and we have, although it probably won't come to fruition because the movies bombed. But there was the third trilogy, which we got two of the movies. That is a prequel trilogy.
I think to be a trilogy, you need three Tom Hardy movies.
Okay.
Different cast aside from Tom Hardy.
I mean, I think we're just looking through this through an autism lens at this point.
Oh,
that's
yes.
how I fucking look at movies.
I thought this I was understand. The whole, I thought you wanted us on because we're autistic movie guys.
I've started reading in trilogy form. I like my movies. I love everything. My video games in trilogy form.
Yeah, okay.
Except women.
Right. I'll date a three.
You'll no.
You deserve a two, but you'll take a three, which is nice.
I'm not a two. I'm a 3.5.
Okay. So top action movie for 2024 as of right now for you, Dave.
Top action. I have my list.
Action.
My favorite movie. I put action movie would probably be Monkey Man. Then that.
Ooh,
good that one. Was
Monkey Man.
Ooh, okay. Monkey Man was Patel. The Dev Patel. So he was brutal as fuck.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is Civil War considered an action movie? Because that's right now is my top movie of the year.
Civil War, I mean, it would be, there is action in it, but would you call it an action movie?
See, no, Monkey Man, I would consider
Monkey an action. Man was Furiosa, an action movie.
Dune, sci-fi, action.
Ooh, I got to go Furiosa. I got to give George Miller his flowers. It's a great movie. It very undersold because it's big. It is very indulgent. But it is also good. I watched it again on a plane for the second time, and I realized I was like, you know what?
The prequel, right?
Yeah, the prequel with
Anya Taylor-Joy. I watched this after your recommendation, and it was rough. Producer and friend, Neil Wood here. Brief commercial break. Hey, how you doing? This is Neil Wood, one of the co-owners of Drop 10 Media Network, and who helps run Biggest Little Comedy. You can check out all the other stuff we do at drop10.com. We've got podcasts, live comedy shows, and so much more. Go over there, support your favorite podcasts, follow them, subscribe. We appreciate it. Again, we're 100% DIY, just a bunch of creatives trying to make it in this. And give us some feedback. We always enjoy a little feedback. Thanks.
Oh,
I'll say for me, but yeah, maybe it deserves a rewatch.
I feel like, I guess maybe I do love the Mad Max series, and it isn't Fury Road, but I think all, like the original trilogy is off on that writing. So I thought it was right. True to the trilogy, like the tongue in cheekness that kind of exists in all the Mad Maxes, but maybe it's not for everybody. I guess you're much more in line with like everybody else's opinion. I think I'm out of step there on that, I suppose, but I love the
book. Cold of every fucking loser on the internet, right?
Nailed it.
Like Adam.
Him. Yeah. Got him, yeah.
Don't bring up his name. No.
Where are you, Adam?
Huh? I thought
looking forward to talking to you, Adam.
How about, I can't believe they put this in romantic movies. It's crazy they did Fall Guy, which you guys all said you liked, but they put it in romantic movies.
I didn't say
in
I the liked category.
I liked Fall Guy, but
you
again,
you liked Fall Guy, no?
First of all, I haven't seen Fall Guy, and last weekend I saw it for the first time ever.
What did you think?
I could take it. It's like something you could like, it'd be fine in like background noise. Like I feel like, hey, there's a movie if I'm flipping through channels, which I don't do because I don't have cable anymore. But if I was flipping through channels and saw Fall Guy, that's something I could land on while I did whatever the fuck else I was doing.
If you were a completely different person doing a completely different thing to what you would ever do.
Right.
That would be the movie.
That would be the movie for you.
Okay. That's a great ringing endorsement.
I don't think I said any of that.
I like the Fall Guy, but only as, like, I understood what they wanted it to be. It's like a love letter to stuntmen.
Right.
And as that, I liked it. But as a movie, it was okay. It's definitely the problem with modern movies, and Fall Guy is no different, is that it seems like these directors and maybe the writers, they feel like you can shore up, like, you, as long as you have the beams of a story, you can shore up the walls with like improv, or you can shore up the walls by doing 50 takes and just picking like take 35 plus where everyone's kind of silly and no longer on the written script and being like, wow, we laughed so much on set when, you know, Ryan Gosling did this. And then it's just way too fucking cute when you see it in a presented movie. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel like, or like the Paul Feig, which is just like, here's a medium shot with no creativity in it. Now just go improv and we'll pick the best out of like 10 improv scenes. Terrible. I feel like it's endemic in movies now. And it's really like, there are more writers than fucking ever, at least by how I can't seem to get a fucking job writing. But why are there so few actual like writers?
Market, like, dude. If you want to watch indie, you watch indie, right?
I guess that's true. Indie movies still have like a really good point of view. But you'd think there'd be like on these second tier movies, like the $3 to $5 million budget movies, you would think that there would be more. There would just be more of it.
That like, they would,
I guess it's all TV. TV's just poached everything from film.
Golden age going on strong, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Because when I think about it, all the great writing, like the stuff that really impresses me, with the exception of your usual suspects of like Oscar directors, it's going to be TV.
And they poached all the movie stars, and that's why it takes fucking forever to get a season two of something.
Yeah.
I miss TV stars, and then, you know, you get another season, because what the fuck else are they doing? And now it's like, oh, you got to film this around the movie schedule.
Right.
But it's better. Yeah. They got production values and shit. Like Game of Thrones, it's like, that's not how fucking TV should look. It looks so goddamn good.
Yeah, that's how it broke. Really, that's what broke the paradigm and probably hurt movies a lot, is that idea of like, what if we just gave you a television show, a movie budget, and people can follow it long term, and we have, it doesn't always work. Like Amazon dropped a bunch of money into that Lord of the Rings show.
I've actually watched it.
Did you recently. Like it?
Yeah, I watched it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen it. I heard it got like panned, but was it by like the nerds?
It's the same thing with like the Acolyte people now.
Yeah. Nothing better than the fake outrage at a woman, or like people can suspend. I think I said this on our podcast. It's like, there, if you are, you can't imagine yourself playing as a woman or a black guy, but you have no problem playing a character who can sprint for 15 minutes when none of the people that care about being a woman or a black guy could sprint for like 45 seconds. It's like, then you're focused on like, your suspension of disbelief can extend a little further. I know it can. I know.
It is pretty crazy how much fucking research racists are willing to do nowadays. like when they announced that Romeo and Juliet with the black Juliet, the fucking, this isn't how you take the bard's word. Julia's supposed to be a tan olive skinned girl from Verona. And now you're like, this is like, whoa. And right. Yeah, when the Assassin's Creed, like, there was no, but he was a sword carrier at most for non-bungo.
Okay. You sound a lot like my uncles. Yeah. And then when The Woman King came out, which is a movie of where
I didn't see that.
That's when they're like, we hate this movie.
Kings
like,
are supposed to be men.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like that one, you'd be like, this one you should like, because this one, she owned slaves. Like that lines up with exactly, it's a historical fact.
They didn't focus on celebrate. That.
No, they didn't. Okay. But the haters, they didn't focus on that either. You think they would have, for the same thing, they would have embraced like Hans Christian Andersen never would have written a black mermaid, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Right. But now you finally have a movie that like you can embrace.
I was actually against the black mermaid too, just because they kept it in the same, they still had the white prince. I'm like, I'm sorry. If that white prince wants a fucking black, like, he doesn't want a wife.
Wow. Wow, sir.
Oh, Neil. Oh, it's his show. Wow. He gets the cut stuff.
Okay,
now.
So yeah, in your mind, if you're going to fuck a fish bottom,
right,
you're certainly gonna be like, ah, I can get just a white top at home. I don't need a
and he's like, has to convince his king dad, I want this black. Okay, dude.
I didn't see that.
So the dad wouldn't be upset that she's half fish. It's the black top that's a problem for you.
Did they change the fish part, or was it the same as Ariel's fish part? Was it a different fish?
Was it
a green tail, or was it like a was it a salmon tail, or like a, I didn't either.
I'm just saying she was still. So they still, by having the white prince, they confirmed that it was still like the 1700s Europe,
right?
Like, okay, their problem isn't the mermaid part. Or like, there's a lot of like, you don't want to see their whole new world. Your world's pretty probably the best place for you right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for romantic movies, I don't know how much romantic movies you guys watch. I know you have a joke where you say you might see a romantic movie, but I haven't seen any for 2024. Well, I did,
because there was that couple that was at the at your show, right, and they asked how they met, how they got, and it was all the most romantic shit ever. And then I got up there and said, bullshit, I've seen enough Anne Hathaway movies. Yeah. You fucking pilfered every fucking idea from them.
It's ridiculous.
That guy was awesome. He said he'll watch our show.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Hopefully he does. He's probably tapped out already.
Tapped out.
One romantic movie I liked, I think, was Lisa Frankenstein.
I loved it. I saw that on a plane as well. I've been doing a lot of traveling, guys.
No, I won't spoil it for you. I mean, the spoil doesn't really matter, but no. Yeah, I think it was so well done.
It was great. It was very, we talk about movies that have like a point of view and like it's clear what it's doing. It was just fun, and it sets the game early on, and then it just plays it. Like, it's not really reinventing the wheel. It's like, you know what it's going into. I kept thinking of it as like the movie that kept coming up in my mind was But I'm a Cheerleader. I don't know if you ever saw it. It's a very different than Lisa Frankenstein, but it's like the same in that it's like, it's a small movie that's like weirdly big. I don't know. It's a great movie.
I know very little about it. I'm trying to, because I haven't seen Lisa Frankenstein, but like, but I'm a cheerleader is like a lesbian coming of age story or whatever.
It doesn't match up on that. That's okay. Why I said it's a weird comparison, because if you're looking at the plot, it doesn't match up at all. It's just more on like the, there's something about the vibe of both of those movies that are similar.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't seen the cheerleader one, but I get you on the vibe thing.
So like Lisa Frank is she, so she's the doctor, which is already huge fucking stretch for me. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Women. More or less.
Women, you can be doctors. So she makes a monster, and I'm guessing since you're saying it's a romantic movie, so she's made basically a fucking walking corpse dildo.
100%. That actually happens.
Okay.
Yeah. That actually happens. It's a beautiful story.
It is. It was very good.
Of love after death. So watch it. All right, let's look through crime here. Any crime movies? You got some ridiculous ones that are crazy here. Beekeeper, remember that with Jason Statham?
Oh, I wanted to see that.
That's more action.
I know. I can't believe that's in here.
I would love to see that, but I missed it.
There's so many bad ones.
Rebel Ridge. That's a crime movie. That's the Netflix.
Long Legs is thrown in there too, and I know we've talked about it. Yeah,
it seems like
Hitman was a crime movie.
I know. It's weird how these are getting in here. The Last Girl. Detained, Sleeping Dogs, The Silent Hours. All of these, there's so many.
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I don't know if you would call that crime. I mean, because it's a war rather than, but it's like a heist movie, even though it's a war story.
It's a Guy
they're not Ritchie, actually right? stealing any. Well, I guess they're stealing a boat. But yeah, it was a really good movie. Guy Ritchie, who I normally, I think, you know, he had Lock, Stock, which we argued about on the other podcast an hour ago. Lock, Stock and Snatch are great, but.
For those that he said the British guy from Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. You know, the movie with the entirely British cast.
Okay, see, now you're giving him a half. We were actually talking about Gone in 60 Seconds. Only one, no, I'm sorry, two British guys in Gone in 60 Seconds. And your second question should have been the guy who falls into his own coffin.
I haven't actually seen.
And I'd be like, no, the other guy.
I haven't actually seen Gone in 60 Seconds, but I was the one that brought it up, so I had to fake it. Like, I knew what I was talking about.
A lie you successfully kept for our entire podcast. Well done. I had no idea. I would have called you out on that shit. It was Bullet Tooth Tony. You knew who I was talking about.
Yeah, Vinny Jones. Man, you.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know what team he played. I knew he was a footballer, but I don't know what fucking team.
Yes. Spoken like someone who's seen a lot of press junkets.
Motherfuckers don't even have nicknames. They're all fucking this city U or this city FC.
Jimmy B.
This is the most popular sport in the world. You can't even fucking name your team.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Their teams are all named after Manchester, right?
That's the city they play in, and then it's FC,
right?
Which stands for football club.
There is Crystal Palace. I mean, that's not the hardest.
I don't care where they get their Chinese food from.
You should.
The Spurs, Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, they call themselves the Spurs.
That's a basketball team.
Well, it's also a footy team.
A footy team. Yeah. Okay, well, I just know the popular ones. I guess
you're right. Most of them are
more focused on football
names.
Than petty things like names. That's why you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Psychological thrillers to get off on the psychological.
No, I like you. Thank you for
anything in there that Trap
will never let it stay on.
Psychological thrillers.
Trap is one that I have just heard about. It's coming up, but I have no idea if it's any.
Trap is, I like to compare a lot of movies to 76ers basketball players. Okay. Obviously, I have the Ben Simmons movie, which is a movie that's pretty good, but it wasn't great, so it sucks.
Okay.
And Trap is a 2001 Allen Iverson. Okay. It's not a good movie, but it elevates itself to a good movie because one dude is fucking doing a lot of heavy lifting for it. And that's Josh Hartnett. Fucking, he's great. He's in literally every scene. But the writing around him is dog shit.
It's, I thought you were going to say it was your 76ers movie because when you're watching the 76ers, you hope someone kills you in the stadium. I hated that movie. Although I do feel like that movie could have been made totally fine with just one thing, a small scene at the top that just explains to you that this guy has superpowers and he has one superpower, and it's the superpower to make anyone believe a statement he makes at face value. And as long as you set it up there, like, hey, guess what? This is in the Invincible universe, and this guy has this is his invincible power. If he lies to your face, you will believe the last thing that he said. Then the movie makes total sense. But otherwise, you just have to believe that when Josh Hartnett, mugs on a slow-low shot right in his face and goes,
I'm just here to buy a t-shirt for my daughter. I didn't realize I was wandering in a secure area with a knife in my hand. And people go, all right, well, get out of here. You got to go that way to get out.
But if you do watch it, please know it is not their intent to make what he just said a thing. It's not so you're it's not meant to be a supernatural movie.
No, it's not. It's just so bad that this character has the plot armor so strong that he just gets away with the dumbest fucking shit.
But he's so goddamn he's so well acted, he's well written enough as a character that I enjoyed the movie, even though I know it's a bad movie. But since he's the focal point and he's great, it's a good movie.
He is acting his ass off and doing the best with what he's been
given. I've said this, like Nightcrawler was my go-to example for the 01 Iverson movie before, because like the cops in that movie are fucking mongrel and a half, but he's so goddamn good.
Yeah.
I get you. Yeah. The thing I heard about this was like they used sort of an artful way to show his manipulation tactic. Like when you're standing in front of a sociopath, why do these people are they're able to somehow through eye contact that we would normally drop or keep, you know, would think was weird, but they hold on these moments.
Yeah.
And you're right. I guess that's what there's like, you have to believe that in that moment, but in your head, everyone in the audience is like, get the fuck out of there. What are you talking about? He should be arrested.
This is a weird thing to kind of bring up out of the blue, but the movie Chef, which is a great fucking movie.
I've heard about Chef.
Oh, Favreau. If you haven't seen it, you have to see Chef. Yeah, with Favreau. In the movie, he plays like a Michelin awarded, like rich, formerly famous chef who's kind of like fallen off.
Right.
And he, John Favreau made the movie. In the movie, he dates, I believe it's Sofia Vergara is his ex-wife and his girlfriend, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And everyone said, like, isn't it kind of silly that you cast? And he said, listen, I did it deliberately because I had to show you that this character is truly one of the best chefs in the world. How do I do that? By just showing you, for having people go, he said, I'm going to put the hottest women as his partners just to show you that, like, he's that good.
Right.
I didn't pick that up until I saw that interview. And I was like, that's interesting. I think that if they did that with that movie, like, he's just that good.
Yeah.
But it's hard when it's a movie, when you see people acting so incredulously. At one point, he gets up to the roof and the roof snipers stop him. Yeah. And then they're just like, nah, the concert's downstairs. It's like, it's, what? Okay. It's just so ridiculous. Like,
now I wish Neil was at the computer. I want to see Wags of the Chef World. I want to see who Emerald's tagging.
I bet you
I bet Hell's Kitchen dude is
he's got a very normal family from what I've seen.
I bet he would have had top tier.
I feel like those guys, because they're old, like the Chef World, especially when those guys were coming up, was so hedonistic and crazy, like what Anthony Bourdain wrote about in like Kitchen Confidential. I think that mostly those guys are boring as fuck because they had like rock star lifestyles through their 20s, 30s, 40s, and now we see them in their 50s and 60s. Well, they don't already done heroin and had sex in the freezer. Like, they don't need to do that anymore. So they have boring families,
you know. Calicchio's got the two hot bitches on both sides of him while judging Top Kitchen, whatever the fuck.
Top Chef. Top Chef,
that's it.
Yeah, it is one of those things. And money will attract a lot, dude.
Right.
That's the way it works,
and I guess. Fucking feeding people.
Also, being great at something. That's underrated thing. Like, you know, if you're really great at something, you know, you should be getting laid a lot. Like, for fuck's sake, why do we get good at anything? You know, if not in part to earn the respect of people. And if you can't get laid if you're respected, then what the fuck? Again, what's the point?
Wait, there's
a point of being respected.
There's some things out there that are getting, I mean, I guess with, it's like getting great at video games. Yeah, that probably comes with that now too. Now you could be like a professional Twitch whatever.
Yeah, you can get
laid. So there's dudes that are like, oh man, I can fucking pull off an 80 fucking hit combo in Street Fighter. I'm gonna ride that all the way
now top. Do you have the pick of the hottest people as a professional video gamer? No, but you probably can find some really hot people in the
I don't know of... You fucking see some of these cosplayers now. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Why
yeah,
you've been taken back, huh, a couple of times. I mean, again, I feel like money and influence, it fixes a lot. I don't know. Horror genre is one that I really, really love.
Yes, we've been talking a lot about.
Dave's a little out. I know, because you wouldn't be. What horror movies did you see this year? Any?
I did see Long Legs.
Long Legs, okay.
Didn't like it.
Gotcha.
But I wouldn't. I don't like it because of the marketing. But at the same time, I wouldn't have seen it if it weren't for the marketing. That's what marketing does. So kudos on you fucking tricky bastards.
Gotcha.
But you don't call something this generation's fucking Silence of the Lambs if it's a supernatural thriller, when Silence of the Lambs is the greatest psychological thriller of all time, perhaps maybe next to Seven or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. It's been pointed out. Yeah, it's too close to Silence of the Lambs. I think you guys even said it when we talked about it. It was just like, once you know the other one, it's tough to...
Right.
It's tough to do. Brandy came back. She was in the Front Room. I didn't check that out.
I've never heard of the Front Room. That.
Exactly. No. I don't know. Which sounds like it did not do well. But
yeah, really.
It'd be hard to not talk about Maxine and X and Pearl.
Pearl,
I saw the Maxine, first one. Yeah,
trilogy, horror trilogy. There you go,
trilogy right there.
All right, you got me by the balls there, huh?
Ty Wood. Yeah.
And talk about what you're making these movies. Although I'm sure his budget's huge now. Pearl, I could see. Well, maybe as a 5 to 10, but it's like that was a relatively cheap budget for that movie. It has its own extremely distinct point of view. Yep. Its own like visual sort of like mythology, and I mean just Mia Goth is just incredible in all those movies. She's just like a revelation. It's cool. I really want to see her in more stuff because I want to see if she's as talented as she seems, or if it's Ty Wood can get that out of her. Like, I'd like to see her with another director to see how she does.
I heard she fucking kicks extras in the face and shit.
Yes. Well, hey, look, I don't give a shit about that. Like, I
care a little bit.
I was just talking about...
You gotta treat the little people good, right? I separate the art from... I separate the art from... Up until, you know, crimes happen.
I'll acknowledge that she's probably an asshole, but, like, I don't... Yeah, it doesn't make me Jews, not...
Don't kick people.
You feel the same way about Christian Bale and stuff?
What, he beat up his mom?
I mean, just yelling at grips off mic, the way he's treating...
I support him yelling at McD, like he did in that leaked footage, because you would... I will say, as somebody that worked on set, he shouldn't have gone off like that. Maybe who knows when that was in the day or how frustrating of a day it was. But the idea that you would start rolling the camera, you would tell the actor's action, not only the highest paid people on your movie, but also like the people that literally are only have to be professional for a very specific set of time when the camera's rolling, and they're all psycho, especially Christian Bale. No pun there, but like he's like a bloodhound, just ready to act, ready to be whatever the fuck. I think it was Terminator, and he was like, "I'm gonna fucking gonna fight the Terminators, action!" And he starts going, and then this motherfucking light guy just goes and starts moving lights. Of course he's going to flip the fuck out. Right. All actors, especially when you're a good one like Bale is, they're fucking nutso. And you basically gave a soldier with PTSD a gun, started playing explosion noises, and then you got crazy when he shot at like the reenactors. Right. It's like, well, what did you expect? That guy is so good because he's that fucked up. Right. So I think it's almost like we're working with like an animal with these great actors, especially if they're assholes. It's like you do in a way need to not antagonize them by being unprofessional. That light guy, what he did was crazy unprofessional. So should he have been yelled at? No, probably not. But
what, could he have gotten kicked in the head?
It's not kicking him in the head. Right. It's a far cry from being kicked in the head because you're Jewish.
So Mia Goth, apparently.
Is that what I mean? I thought she just did
his nose is just like that. Don't say that about
me. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about what I want to do right now.
I'm sitting and you can't get your fucking foot this high.
I actually can't move my toes right now. I've been eating.
I'll take the fucking cushions out. You still couldn't reach my head.
Don't take the cushions out. This is where Neil sleeps.
That's where I sleep. Please. Yeah, but you're saying Mia Goth allegedly kicked somebody. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but she kicked an extra. She kicked an extra
like,
on
while they weren't filming anything.
Right. She just kicked her. Yeah, and said like, "I'm better than you," or well, some degree of that.
Oh shit.
Yeah, she's she apparently is crazy too. But again, I don't give a shit. Cheered for Michael Vick. I cheered for Michael Vick. We don't give a shit what
they
do.
Well, that's the point of Dave. That's what I mean. I'm wondering. It's like, well, if it was a male, would you give his? My shit, like shit, you'd be like, they're crazy.
I wouldn't care
if it's a male. If it's Christian Bale's doing shit, a lot of actors have done stuff. Well, the kick in the head, obviously, if it happened, just a kick in the head is terrible, obviously. But like what Dan is saying, they're crazy.
Yeah,
they're.
I mean, save it for the paparazzi. I am okay with literally whatever happens to those people. But extras, they're just trying to make you look good.
Yeah, I heard a story that doesn't even rise to all that about how. Who's the guy from 30 Seconds to Mars? I'm drawing a blank.
Jared Leto.
How Jared Leto is a huge asshole. And the story I heard, I since heard an even worse story about him, but I don't know how true it is. The story I know is true is that he picked up a bunch of girls, including a friend of mine, outside of a club in his limo. They got in because a hot guy in a limo picked them up. He was trying to get with my friend and she like pushed his hand away. He kept like putting it on her thigh. And after like two or three times, she was like, "Hey, I'm really not comfortable with this." So he made the limousine driver stop and he kicked them all out in like a bad part of LA and just like drove away and was like a complete douchebag. Yeah, and I hate him more. Then I later told this story. And then someone said this was like a friend of a friend. So I can't verify that they were like, "I heard that Jared Leto has a humongous dick and that when he has consensual sex with women, he purposely like plows them to like hurt them because he gets off on hurting women with his big dick." Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's so salacious that I totally believe it. And I still hate him more for being mean to my friend in the limo.
Yeah. So, I say bury him.
But I think it's easy because I hate Jared Leto. I don't like his music and I really don't like his acting.
Okay.
So I'm primed to hate him even more. But whereas like these, like Mia Goth, I like her performances. So she's got to kick a couple people in the head to get in character. I mean,
he had a little goodwill riding from Requiem. And I don't, has there been any other, I guess Fight Club he's in, but that's fun because he gets the shit kicked out of him in it.
Yeah. That's
Destroy Something Beautiful. Yeah. It's
also, I don't know if that's true. So, hey, yeah, you cut that out. No, so, don't get sued.
I don't want him to have a big dick. I'm going to imagine him with a small dick.
I feel like he does, though, because his energy, he has big dick energy, I think. He acts like he doesn't give a
someone
fuck
who hasn't been told no often enough.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get you on that. It's one of those things. I'm about to just skip the comedy section entirely in terms of the movie
bro,
categories.
Let's go on a Ricky Stanicki discourse.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Stanicki was good.
And what's the Jerry Seinfeld movie?
Oh, God. The serial movie. Pop-Tart movie. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Throwing Deadpool in there at all?
I saw Deadpool. It was good.
You like it? Comedy-wise?
I did. Deadpool, because it did the thing that pissed me off about all the other Marvel movies, but for some reason it works, where it's just a fucking nostalgia fest. Yeah. But for some reason with Deadpool, it works for me.
Works for you?
Okay. Yeah.
If they just know what they're doing. They're just they're going to keep churning out movies that are very on the nose until I think they got two more. I think by two more,
then they kill the
magic will have fade. Yeah.
They kill the trilogy and I'm out.
Yeah. Right.
Because I only like trilogies.
Well, so that's it. So the next one you're out because the trilogy would have ended with this one.
I mean, I'm already on my, I still watch all the movies, but it used to be events. Like, this is like, oh, I'll buy us five tickets for like the opening Saturday afternoon. Now I see them when I get around to it.
Yeah. When I moved back to Philadelphia, I had like a going away show and my friend Adi was supposed to perform on the show and he blew it off to see Endgame. And I still, Adi Gordon, hilarious comic. He blew me off to see Endgame and I didn't care at the time, who cares, but I never let him forget it. And now it's like, it's funny because he used to defend himself. He used to be like, dude, it's Endgame. It was like the culmination of 10 years of like what I care about the most, comic books. It's like now in like phase five, I'm like, would you blow it? Would you do anything for this movie? And he's like, no, I'm not even going to go see it.
Is Endgame the last event movie?
I think
so. Did the Star Wars come out after? I mean, episode 8 was an event. 9, people didn't like 8 enough, so 9 actually wasn't an event,
which
is insane for Star Wars.
Because it circles back to my point of just being like, it goes to the audience and the fact that we all, like, the broad audience could not deal with a character dying. Like, that's really that's how sad. So we're all like, why don't they make anything interesting? Or like, a lot of times, man, it's the audience be like, how many people walked away from that movie? Like, wasn't good. Didn't like it. You're like, you're just mad because you couldn't take them killing a character.
Right. Yeah. Star Wars, you're stuck in an impossible situation as a creative to make it because you have these fans that want fan service. But then you also have to make a movie for the masses. And these two things are generally opposed, at least the way they go about it. I think everybody can look at Star Wars if you're a creative person and go, yeah, I could have done this better.
I personally think that you should have had all three scripts written before, you know, filming the biggest cinematic property of all time.
Yeah.
Instead of playing with two directors that clearly didn't like what the other one was doing and fucking started changing the shit that the other one did.
Right.
Yeah, and have a concise plan, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
and maybe not undo the biggest trilogy of all time by just having, oh yeah, the fucking Empire's fine. In fact, they're even better. We have an even deathier star now.
Yeah.
That Death Star's five planets at once even. Yeah, that whole beating them thing. Who gives a shit?
Didn't happen. Yeah. And I thought the most interesting decision they made was the one that everyone hated the most, which was to make Luke like fucked up hermit that like regretted a decision that he made off camera. And that the only thing I would say was you know, if you could make it all go back and make it all, you would have that happen in a movie or something rather than told via a flashback. But I thought that was the most interesting decision in that whole trilogy, and everybody shat on it. And I was like, I'm fine with it. But maybe because I don't look at Luke Skywalker as like a personal friend of mine or an iconic figure in my family, as some people do. So it's like, I didn't give a shit. I'm like, oh man, he's all fucked up. That's interesting. And then he ends, but people hated it.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, like, I hated The Last Jedi. I just thought it wasn't that good. I thought
the movie was not that good. Yeah,
but I think it should have. You should have had entrusted one director to do the whole trilogy. I would much rather have Rian Johnson do. I respect him for trying to do something that wasn't just a retread of the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And J.J. Abrams, he fucking brought it back to Return of the Jedi with the last one.
Yep.
So I'd rather seen a Rian Johnson trilogy. Same. Plus, he has a better track record outside, too. Like, I fucking love The Glass Onions. Brick.
Brick is, special mention, Brick, one of my favorite movies. Great movie.
Yeah. This one is tough just because documentaries, we haven't, I don't know if Diddy's out yet, the documentary series. I don't think it's out yet,
no.
So we haven't seen it.
I watched the Vince McMahon one.
Oh yeah, how was that? I wanted to watch that.
That one's, I don't know, I'm gonna be able to get through all the allegations.
It was mostly filmed with him.
Yeah.
So it was meant to be, you know, just like his, and then so he got like fired or quit, whatever, during the thing. But the first, all the episodes, and he's still like, you know, I do talk about the controversies. But I don't think it's made to make him look bad. He makes him look bad, though, because he doesn't take accountability for fucking anything bad that ever happened.
He's a scumbag. He's a sociopath.
Nice. So he's, but in the last episodes, after like, oh, he walked off the set because he had heard like he was getting. So, you're not going to hear about shitting on heads or whatever.
Okay. I haven't seen, I think, the Nickelodeon one I watched.
That was good.
That's pretty, but yeah, documentaries for me don't really line up.
And I have a friend, I've mentioned this on our podcast, but it's good for the cult of us too. I used to live, when I lived in LA, I used to live with a cast member of all that.
Oh, right.
Ryan Coleman, I can talk, but he's actually still doing all that reunion things. Apparently there are people that had a great experience on all that, were never touched once, and are happy that they were all on all that. Dude, my roommate Ryan Coleman is like that. And I got to say, he was so cute. I feel like it must have been his personality or something, because don't see why he wouldn't have been a target, is all I'm
some
saying.
Some kids you can just see sliming and some kids you can't. You know?
That's the way it goes. He never said the magic word.
Dramas, but I got to say, I can't think of any drama. I'm so not a drama person. I really stay in the horror realm for myself, action and horror. But was there any dramas that popped out to you? I mean, we got
Zone of Interest. That was last year. But that was
Scoop, incredible. Angels.
See what dramas Shirley. Did. Oh, I closed my letterbox. What a piece of shit I am.
Spaceman.
I didn't watch that. Adam Sandler.
Challengers. I did not watch
the Thrubble movie. Oh, you didn't cover animation.
Back to Black.
You didn't cover animation. Inside Out too.
Covers everything in here.
Bike Riders, is that?
Yeah, did I? I don't think I watched any dramas.
Yeah.
Kinds of Kindness. That was a fucking weird.
I really just stay away from. I don't know. I can't think of any dramas that really stood out or anything there. I'm sure there are. There's probably people yelling at their screen right now, but I got nothing. It just was not. It's not my genre, and honestly, nothing stood out.
I did
maybe the war movies, but I don't think anything came out and.
What's his name? Kevin Costner released this whole big, supposedly 4-part epic about like Western. And I watched that and I was just like, this should be a fucking TV show.
Yeah.
It's like 8 different stories that are not, that haven't even interconnected yet. It's like 3-some hours long. It's supposed to be 4 movies, just make a 12-hour long episodes. I was watching this, I was being like, I can watch this in hour increments. This is really hard to get through in a 3-hour sitting.
Yeah, I can't do.
I would say for drama, I think this would kind of qualify Civil War. I feel like that was a drama. Okay. I mean, it had action moments, but it was more or less a drama about covering a war as a journalist. So I would shoehorn that and say that was my favorite drama.
We had some good things. I don't know what the year holds for closing out. If there's anything coming up that you guys are pumped about,
I don't know what's garnering the Oscar bait right for this year.
Right, there's going to be we're going to be able to Oscar bait this year. No doubt.
Which you guys will do.
Yeah, the big guy, because last year we got the Scorsese, we got the Nolan, we got Michael Mann, we got I mean,
and then we got Joker, Folie à Deux. It's a much reduced year.
I'll see it when I see it.
I didn't realize that it's a musical. They really talk about a movie that is avoiding what it is. There are three giant set piece involved musical numbers in this movie.
Okay. Is there a limit for something to be like, I thought musical, just everything was fucking sang. So there's still like regular ass acting in between songs or whatever.
I think it's like up to a certain point that it becomes a musical, right?
Maybe it is not classified. Maybe it's not meeting the thing, but I think if you have four songs and three songs where like the song is a set piece and people are singing and dancing, we are approaching musical.
Songs can't go longer than three, like before I have to fucking start ripping out the remainder of my hair. I gotta grow out my facial hair so start I can ripping. Fucking have something to tug at when I'm when I'm seeing it. Sounds like
that would be the only drama I think I would probably see this year.
Yeah, there really isn't. I'm looking here. I don't see
there's
much.
A Timothy Chalamet playing Bob Dylan movie that might go for the that might be the baiter.
I do that face, but I don't know. I just don't connect with celebrity movies at all. I like him playing Bob Dylan. I got nothing.
I don't really like Timothy Chalamet. He doesn't. I just don't. He's fine. I just don't think he's. I think
he is fine. I genuinely don't get the thing with him. I mean, it's I guess it's just the high cheekbones and he's so slanty. He does look like a cartoon character in some ways.
He's skinny, sexy, but I guess I don't
know. So for Dune, I could totally see him being replaced. I mean, it could have been someone else. It didn't feel like it was hinged on him. You could
put the guy that played John Carter in there to me. I don't give a shit. Taylor
Kish.
Yeah, Taylor Kish.
That wasn't even that bad of a movie.
It wouldn't matter to me.
It was like the biggest bomb ever, though.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Megalopolis.
This might be.
They didn't get my $7.
Well, you're five. Come on, it's Tuesday.
No, so it's
it's seven. The price of everything.
$5 Tuesday, but it's $7. Because I go to the recliner theater. You probably go to a basic bitch theater.
I go to a movie tavern. Okay, it's called a tavern.
Oh, I feel like that would be a way to fucking rise up the price, though, right?
They have. I think it's still $5. I don't know because movie tavern doesn't go as late as your movie theater. So
I don't got no fucking movie tavern near me.
Yeah, it's all good.
Well, the movie tavern's great. It's the only movie theater named after like an 18th century drinking establishment.
I don't think I want to drink it because I'm a seal breaker.
Well, this is what I mean. This goes into the last thing. I love movies so much, but I love watching them at home. Mm. I do. I understand you guys go to the theater. There's something about being alone, like being able to just like interact if you feel like it or something like that. Cozy. Can't be cozy in a movie theater. Can't do it.
Yeah,
I got the recliner seat. I go when it's late. Like I go after my so there's me around. And like there's no. I don't have someone sitting next to fucking shoes off.
I need to not wear pants. You know what I mean? Like I gotta get comfy. I want to be comfy.
See, I'll go. I will go to the movies. I was surprised you guys because I'll record podcasts this way, looking like a big bag of shit. I'll just come in. I'll just go to movies in my sweatpants and like a sweatshirt. Doesn't matter to me.
Will never let my sweatpants feel the taint of the outside world.
Oh, see,
they're special to me.
Well, see, Dave, you're from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. That's a little fancier. I come from Delco stock. So I have going out sweatpants.
Okay.
I have indoor and then outdoor
sweatpants. And they come pre-stained.
That's right. Well, if they don't, I'll get them worn in pretty quick.
You got to break these in with some popcorn, baby.
As a barbecue sauce. You know what I'm saying? You never get that out.
My sweats resemble home.
So Dave doesn't do, you don't do any of like the drinking or the eating venues or anything.
I do the fucking big ass.
I mean, like the
sit down. And I finish it by the fucking preview. Sit down, so I get order. That cough.
You're not hearing what I'm saying. Sit down, order. I'm saying sit down, order a meal like those spots. The dinner in a movie.
No, I don't get the fucking chicken fingers or whatever.
I know, it's terrible.
I love movie popcorn.
Yeah. How much movie popcorn are you eating? How much are you going down? Movies a week?
I get the I
do you do the refiller?
No, I never. I've refilled one. I refilled for a doubleheader.
Okay.
I've never.
I got
no, I don't get up.
So I talk about the movie tavern, right? My tavern. They do one of those refill buckets. Like you actually have a bucket and I just keep it in my car. And
no, yeah.
But listen, I do wash it out. I do wash it out. I do wash it out. It's important to know. I will bring it in, wash it.
I'm skeptical.
No. I'll tell you why.
Every time.
I understand why you'll be skeptical of this next claim, but I do not finish the bucket. Like it's too much. It's too much popcorn for me to finish. So I always take it home and then I end up eating it later that
this
night,
my mom,
somewhat the next day. So it always comes into the house with me. It never stays out in the car because it always has popcorn in it. So I, of course I wash it out, but I do understand why you'd look at me and you go, this motherfucker's just leaving a greasy bucket in the back of his car and filling it with popcorn.
Are you a butter? I don't do the butter.
I hate butter, but my girlfriend likes it. So butter goes in the bucket.
Cause I've worked at the movie theater in high school. I will not put that shit on anything.
It's
I
gross.
Eat. It's fucking it's gross.
It makes the popcorn taste worse. I just don't understand it.
It's too fake. I get it.
Yeah. It has no butter taste to me. It's just
what do you know about the fucking butter lines, dude? What do you know about
yeah,
them?
What's going on with the butter?
I mean, they don't ever claim
I'm not
them, dude. They're like,
oh, fucking take me out. All I'm saying is I don't put it in my body. And I put chemicals galore in my
body. I know. Not for movie you not to put popcorn. That in there. Okay. Yipes. Okay. Yeah. This is like one of those bars that doesn't clean their taps. I think you.
That's right. We did a show at a bar I used to work at, and I tried to order a beer in a bottle, and they were like, "We only have Yingling in a bottle." And I looked at Neil, and I was like, "Get the Yingling. Yeah. You do not want anything that's poured in the lines of this bar."
Yeah, yeah. It's a good show, though.
It was a great show. You did great. You had a great set.
Thanks. No, Yingling's not meant to be a draft beer. Yingling draft sucks compared to Yingling bottle. I don't know where the fuck.
Yeah, that's true. But this place would have. I'm sure they had IPAs and like craft beers. Like I said, I work there. I know what the lines are look like on the bottom floor. So I was just like, no, just stick with a bottle. Stick with anything that they don't touch.
I get you on that.
Yeah. Get a growler then.
Yeah. You might.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a bottle, but it's from the fucking
it comes out of the tap.
Yeah. Well, this is the weekday comics. I'm gonna have different podcasts coming on just to promote their stuff. One. So tell them about, you know, your podcast a little bit.
You better at this than us. Hey, do you guys like
Dave is notoriously bad.
Fuck.
So bad at promoting.
I've never seen someone perform who is a performer for like 10 plus years perform so poorly as it's you so did bad. When we tried to cut that.
That's because I have autistic precision for what I'm going to say on stage.
Yeah.
And
that's true. You are.
I have to improvise. Like, and I'm. And plus, all the stage stuff is me talking about what a piece of shit I am. If I have, I am the worst self promoter. I fucking hate saying I'm good. Like, people are like, you're a good comic? Like,
nah.
Whatever.
That's what I say when they ask me about you too. Wait, what?
So it's a lot of that.
Oh, the promoting our podcast. See, I'm drawing a blank on that.
So the Weekday Comics is great because what you guys get to do, I think, is write news jokes based on headlines, which I love. I love coming in each week and knowing you guys wrote 12 fresh jokes that you're going to say at the end.
If your favorite part of Saturday Night Live is Weekend Update and you're like, I just wish Michael Che was less black and Colin Jost was more Jewish, you would love our podcast.
Yeah.
I think I'll take Colin. Yeah, he's fucking Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And you have some great guests on. You guys do like some great writers. So they come on and they sometimes do
some
of them. Yeah, yeah.
But that's a fucking a sixth of the show. The meat. True. Let's talk about the meat of the show.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it. Go ahead, buddy.
I've already forgotten.
He's so good.
No, there's no fucking. There's no out of left field that's too. We're never going to write the ship. If there's a fucking weird rabbit hole to go down, go down it.
We live.
I try.
Yeah, we do it live. We and people go, you know, that must inconvenience you. And the answer is yes, it does a lot. But
to be here on time and shit.
I know, right? I actually have to like do things. It's like a fucking job sometimes. I hate you guys. No, I'm just kidding. I love this. I feel like though what we do is we bring it in and we go, it's live because we want stakes. We want to be able to have the conversation that we want to have about what's going on today in what is basically like for comics can be like a minefield. You know what I mean? Like you can get in trouble. We've gotten in trouble. We went to war with the burlesque community. Now that has died down.
Sure.
You know, the trenches have been filled.
Yes.
The barbed wire has been retracted.
The boner has been reduced.
Feather boas.
The swelling has gone away. Swelling has gone down.
The nipple tassels have been reapplied. The burlesque girls are no longer at war with us. But we do, you know, we speak our minds. We say what we want to say. And we do it live, which means anything can happen. And that sounds really lame when you're promoting a podcast. Anything can happen. Dave was clicking like an African tribesman once, and I don't even think we cut that out.
Oh,
so
no, we can't.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's impossible.
I've said stuff about tragic events that I, you know, so if you just want to watch the look of panic on someone's face when they know that, like, okay. And then go back to normal, really. Whatever. No one's fucking watching anyway. But I do. I want people to spit on me on the street.
You've already been spit on because of the podcast.
Yes,
I know. But it made me, it showered me with warmth that we were being watched or whatever.
Right. Sure. If it meant we were being watched, you could spit on me as well.
Because the last thing I ever want is to be humanized. So fucking.
Yeah. You really don't have a good trajectory to become famous, I think, is the problem. I'm trying to see if I can right the ship.
I mean,
you don't like talking about yourself. You don't
find me being famous. I want to be comfortable.
You know what?
But I don't want to. I don't want to be Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
You don't have the cheekbones.
Yeah.
To be Timothy Chalamet. Come on.
You fucking.
His head weighs as much as your nose.
Yeah,
I could flex.
Yeah, if you did like
flex your jawline right now,
your eyebrows. I think with your fingers, you're suggesting sort of a Ren and Stimpy operation where you put the mask down here, up here.
I've had an ex tell me compliment my cheekbones before, but I'm thinking she was just struggling to find anything else.
Yeah,
I think cheekbones just might be a safe. Like, how can he confirm that?
I think that's like, I'm thinking it's like when you're looking at your nose and somebody asks, and it's the very next thing you would look at. You have great eyebrows, cheekbones, mustache.
Straight on, it's eyebrows and cheekbones. To the side, it's nose. That's just all it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, dude. But you can check out more from the weekday comics. That's what I do.
And you can even listen to us audio if you don't want to look at my nose, eyebrow, cheekbone.
You can still hear it, though.
You can hear the nose. You can definitely hear the nose.
Yeah, his impressions are so wide and advanced. The Dave impressions are my favorite. I love Dave when you do impressions. They are.
How many have I done?
I think it's two or three. And each time, watching you squirm or move before you like. I love when you set it up beforehand when you have to do. You're like, this one I actually have to do something. It's just like you do so minimal do so much with it, and I love that.
It's fun.
It's all about, it's pure talent. No fucking gimmicks.
See, there we go, dude. Yeah. So you can talk
on the stage, on the stage as well. I love your act outs so much that you actually got nervous about doing one. And literally all you do is that.
It's the only time I see it.
Just make a cat claw.
Still don't know that I do it.
I know. That's how he has to black it out anytime he has. He's doing an act out. He completely, his eyes roll back in his head. We have no idea.
It's like, did I do this during my set? Did I not just stand there with the mic in my hand?
So yeah, and you get to see me be outraged during the episodes, which is nice.
Honestly, it's my favorite.
Yeah,
it's my favorite part of the podcast.
Well, you guys get to see me, and they get to hear me, which is nice.
Yeah, and I'll always inform them.
Yeah, and it's very nice. That's why I think they should join up. But yeah, this has been fun letting people get a little taste of the weekday comics if they haven't on our stream and come over. Hopefully, they do to watch me because I'll be there too, and it'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this was good.
Yes.
For having us on the Cult of Us, this is much better without Adam.
Oh. Yeah, Adam is dead.
He wanted to be here, but he had anything else to do. That's what it was. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I will see you later.
Tight.
Bye.
Bye.
Tight.
You want to be a good person. We know you do. And that's why we're here to guide you and help. You can go to @CultOfUsCast or Cult of Us and just subscribe, and that will fix you. This is your Pope. Neil Wooden, that will fix you. We know that you'll grow as a person and be better. Check out all this stuff at patreon.com/cultofus or drop10.com/podcasts. You want to be better? You will.
Hi, I'm International Man of Mystery, Dan DePriel, and I'm one of the weekday comics. My friend Dave and I get paid to do comedy, believe it or not. But we're not allowed to tell all the jokes we want to tell. That's why we started this podcast. Join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. where we're going to talk about the news of the day and tell a couple of jokes that we just don't feel comfortable telling on stage. Hey, we don't have careers, so who gives a weekday comics? Our podcast, where we be the big bags of trash we were born to be and aren't allowed on the shows they pay us to do.
This has been a Drop Tent Media production.